Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast. Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is a discussion and debate episode with myself and my lovely wife, Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
I like that you use the word debate. I'm excited to debate.
Yeah, I'm going to debate the hell out of you.
No, I'm well. I'm back at work. So trying to fit in Scare Track and life and now work after lockdown is proving tough.
I'm having a great time. I mean, Hannah's at work, so I'm just chilling around the house because I'm not allowed to go back to work yet, which means I can do some more videos and some more podcasts. And that's why we're here today, because we're going to talk about our latest video. Now, if you've not checked it out, go over to YouTube now, youtube.com/scaretrack, and check out our top 10 unconventional scare attractions here in the UK.
Unconventional?
Well, that's why I use that word for a reason, but we'll get that onto that in a second. So, let's do it. Let's go through the top 10 most unconventional haunts here in the UK.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Okay, so the reason we say unconventional is because I just needed a word that sort of describes everything in that kind of list. So I didn't want to do extreme because there's some attractions in there that aren't extreme. I didn't want to say weird, bizarre, intense. I just wanted to think something that, if you were to go to your friend, I'm going to a scare attraction or haunted house.
Yeah.
Globally around the world, the idea of that is you and a group of friends walk through a house and then you get jumped at and then you come out and you laugh.
Yeah.
That's the conventional haunted house and scare attraction.
The unconventional is the likes of
being waterboarded, being even split up alone, like we talk about Experiment 10 that happened nearly 10 years ago. That was, we'll get onto that in a second, but things that were unconventional for their time, something that was new.
So the kind of attractions where it just takes you beyond a haunt, beyond like a maze, beyond a haunted house, that kind of thing where it just completely throws you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah,
those kind of things.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And obviously, we've done the video, like I say, go and check that out now, youtube.com/scaretrack. People are liking these top 10 videos.
I'm really liking these videos.
Thanks.
If I do say so myself.
I mean, I made it, but okay.
I know. I'm telling you that I like it.
Thanks. But people seem to like them. So, guys, if you have an idea of what our next top 10 video should be, let us know in the comments below or on any of our social media pages, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Let us know on there. You can email us direct at scaretrack@gmail.com as well. Why not send us an email?
So on to the top 10.
Number 10 was
in at number 10.
Thank you, Hannah. It was Experiment 10 at Thorpe Park Fright Nights 2011, and then it came back again with a twist on the end for 2012. Now, by today's standards, it's not really that unconventional. There's lots of attractions that you don't have to hold on to the person in front of you. You get split up. You go into rooms alone. You know, that's actually more common nowadays, especially with the likes of Subspecies or Vita Nova.
But this is way before those.
And this is 2011.
And this is Thorpe Park 2011.
So, yeah, Thorpe Park, 2011, Fright Nights, a theme park, one of the big theme parks in the UK. It was completely unknown for a UK major theme park to go, you know what, we're going to split them up.
The first time I'd been through a maze and got split up from you.
Yeah.
Like, I'd been through, I think, one before where I knew I was going to be alone, I think this is the first time that I went through an attraction expecting to be hands and shoulders, the usual sort of, you know, maze that you'd expect in 2011. And it completely threw me by surprise.
This is the first time you were ever alone in an attraction.
Ever?
Yeah. Ooh. I know what other one you're thinking of, and that was 2012.
Oh, so you're so good at dates.
I'm a nerd. But yeah, so this was 2011 Fright Nights. We'd only been in the game for a couple of years, myself and Hannah. The first attraction I went to was in 2010, which was Saw Alive, which isn't on this list, although it's a fantastic maze. But I did do something as a child that haunted me for life. But yeah, we did this and we were both just sort of like, wow, what the hell? Like, I'm going by myself, I'm going alone.
So I remember being put in the box. I think that was the scariest part for me.
Being put in the box. Well, yeah, that's it. They split you up and put you in these boxes. And even though nothing really happened in the boxes as such that I remember, it was still just terrifying being there, wasn't it?
Absolutely. On your own in a pitch dark, pitch black box.
Yeah. But yeah, the reason we wanted to put this in, and it's in at number 10, is because it kind of, not paved the way as such, but it meant that theme parks could then start getting a little bit more out of the box when it came to their attractions. Like I say, back then, we were constantly hands on shoulders, linear, that's it. Since then, I mean, I can't remember the last time I put my hands on someone's shoulders.
Oh, I'm glad I don't have to now that I've got older. It's actually quite painful.
Yeah, it's a right pain in the backside to do. So I'm glad. And also it meant that we had later attractions that were more, like I say, free-flow attractions as well. Like to take Thorpe Park, for example, as well, Cabin in the Woods. It meant that it was a free-flow kind of attraction. So yeah, that is why Experiment 10 in the top 10 of the most unconventional haunts in the UK, purely because in 2011, that wasn't really heard of, really, was it? Let's go for the next one.
In at number 9 is Fraternity by Faceless Ventures.
Very good, Hannah. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. I'm going to get you on the next top 10 video.
Ooh,
yeah, your voice is nicer than mine. So, Fraternity by Faceless Ventures. Now, very few listeners may have actually experienced this. It was only on, I think, for one or two nights. Very few tickets. Again, it's an alone attraction. And most of these attractions throughout this are done alone. Quite a handful of them are. Which just adds to the fear factor as well. And even just doing an attraction alone is unconventional. Mm. Like you say, if you're explaining this to all your friends, you wouldn't say, yeah, we're going to go to a Fright Nights thing. Oh, okay. We all go in as a group? No, you'll go alone.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's unconventional. Just look at the pictures here. We're watching the YouTube video as well. If you want to watch it whilst we're going along, guys, you can. First of all, you were in your underwear.
Yeah, I remember the drive up to the Mexpro Centre where this was, which is up to north. I remember the drive up and I was still unsure if I was actually going to go through it or not for the whole journey. So for a good hour and a half, I was still, maybe I will, maybe I won't. And I'm so glad I did. But the whole, you had to go through it in just your underwear and a large baggy white T-shirt.
And in fairness, the T-shirt covered all your modesty.
Oh my God, I was completely covered. But going into the unknown, knowing I'd just be, all I knew was you will just be in your underwear. I didn't know how I'd strip down, if there'd be like a changing place where, like, would I have to arrive in my underwear. Like, there was so much unknown that I was so undecided whether I was going to do it or not. And I know a lot of reviewers didn't
Some review sites didn't cover it. A few people who bought a ticket when they realised that was the case didn't want to go through it as well. And completely understandable. I mean, no one wants to see my body right now after this lockdown wait. But I can understand why people didn't want to do it. But yeah, it sort of caused a bit of a controversy. And the event, again, it's out of the ordinary. It's unconventional because you are going down, you were barefoot as well, and that was the most bizarre thing, is that it started off with a cleansing, meaning that you literally just sat down and a poor woman gave your feet a bath,
which was strange as well because I knew the actress that was washing my feet and I just wanted to be like, I'm sorry.
We've had a 2.5 journey up here, it's a hot day. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, anyone listening, if you know of any attraction in the entire world that gives you a bath or a cleanse a foot bath before you start, please let me know, because I don't think it's there. And obviously other things happen throughout the attraction.
I remember I had hot wax poured on my hand.
Wax poured onto you. You were sort of dunked into water for like a baptism kind of thing. You had to find a ball in a box, but the box was full of mouse traps. It was all a little bit...
I didn't do that one.
You did.
Did I?
Yeah, you discussed it with me afterwards.
I don't remember.
Your memory is diabolical. he put a... You had just a box. It was like a priest sort of guy or someone. You wanted to join a cult, basically. You joined the fraternity. Because you Americans with your fraternities were so random and weird. But he'd put a ball in the box and he'd put a mousetrap in the box. And we had to find it and not hit the mousetrap.
Oh.
I'm hoping it was fake, but hey-ho. But yeah, that's number 9. It was awesome, it was weird, most definitely unconventional.
In at number 8 is Ghoulies Haunted House.
Now, Ghoulies Haunted House, we've put it in there, we've put the extreme version in. So it's Ghoulies Haunted House Extreme.
I'm so glad that I didn't get to do the extreme version.
It just looked too intense. Now, we need to talk about Ghoulies Haunted House anyway, and why that is actually, in itself... quite unconventional considering it's a scare attraction in the middle of Liverpool city centre.
Oh, now, I loved it so much.
It was
much.
so good. But you would think, again, you'd think it'd be the kind of attraction a little bit like a Passage del Terror or like a Dungeons-esque walkthrough.
You'd think that it would cater to a massive tourist market and not people looking for intense scares.
Yeah.
That is what you would expect for being on Liverpool High Street attached to what is essentially a really cool... essentially a really cool horror bar. It is... It's in my top 10 of scare attraction bars, my personal one. It was beautiful. The cocktails, the finesse of making the cocktails. They made every single cocktail looked stunning being made.
Yes.
Tasted stunning. You could have blood bag cocktails that were up on a gurney or whatever it's called. That's not the right word. But like, you know what I mean? Like a hospital thing that you put the bags... On. Yeah. And you'd suck the blood out of that. They had like Jeepers Creepers themed beer. The whole bar itself.
They took a photo of us and put us on a missing milk box.
Yeah, I've got it here actually. I'll pick it up. We had a cocktail that was sort of like a milky flavour, and it's in a milk carton that's got Child's Play on one side and a Polaroid picture of us looking very young and naive on the other side, saying "Missing, last seen at Ghoulies Haunted House," and it was just so beautiful, this bar, that you don't expect the terror on the other side of it.
No. So you'd go downstairs and, this bar, it looks awesome, it's smart, it's clever, and it's really good music. I wish we spent more time there, really. I wish it was closer to home.
It had screens as well, so you could see what was happening
downstairs. Like, it's a dream come true. But downstairs, the reason it's unconventional for the most part is the fact that it was very hands-on. It was very pushy. It was very touchy. It was very split you up and tie you to a bed.
I thought someone had cut my hair.
I came out thinking that
someone had cut my hair.
It was extremely intense. It wasn't quite extreme, but it was a really intense kind of attraction, especially...
You say that. I safe-worded.
You did safe-word.
And you were dead angry that I'd missed the ending. You were like, but the ending was great!
They were the only attraction where I've actually physically proper felt the chainsaw on me vibrating hard. And they were really clever. They showed you a chainsaw with the chain still on, then they put a hood over your head, and then attach you with the fake one. That was clever, because I was thinking, oh my god, they're gonna kill me.
So anyone that knows me and listens to Scare Track frequently, you know that that's the point that I safe worded.
Yes, 100%. But the reason we put in extreme Ghoulies Haunted House, it was put forward by a number of Scare Track listeners, so thank you. We didn't experience it, but we saw the aftermath. They were terrorized.
I heard incredible things.
Yeah. And so you can only imagine how intense it is anyway, or was. But to have the extreme added to it just brings it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we didn't do it.
I want to say unfortunately not. I don't know.
Part of me...
For me, the original was extreme enough.
Yes, exactly.
And the whole unconventional part of it for me is the fact that it is underneath a quirky little bar in Liverpool.
Yeah.
You just don't expect it.
You really don't. No, you really don't. But it was phenomenal. Next up.
In at number 7 is Generation Z.
So Generation of Z, one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
Oh my God. Absolutely incredible. Doesn't even sum up this attraction.
No. So basically, it's kind of like a zombie chase game, but with very little chasing as such. So, and we love all the zombie chase games. We've done a few over the years. They've been fantastic and all different in their own little way. This one is more of a piece of promenade, theatrical, blood and guts theatre, really, isn't it?
For me, the way I'd sum it up is a piece of immersive theatre, zombie chase game escape room.
Yeah,
I'd put it all in one.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it was so intense, and there were so many layers going in. You picked a direction, left or right, and that chose what group you were in.
Well, you split into two groups, then you split into further two more
groups.
Yeah,
so there was
like four
groups, and each group had their own different experience. They went into their own different rooms. You conversed with the other groups over CCTV, so you all had the infinite goal that you were aiming for, and you were all working together over CCTV.
Yeah.
There were plants. Yeah. So there were people that were there from the start.
That you didn't realise, and then they came out at the very end and got shot. And
there was a guy that was in our group throughout the entirety of it, and because it's so immersive, you get to know people in the group. Like, you don't know them names or anything, but you'll be like, that guy, he's in our group. Suddenly comes forward at the end and gets shot.
Like, yeah, that, it was really intense. Like, there's been a couple of incarnations of the show. Obviously, it came over in the early to mid-2000s from New Zealand. It started off at Scotland at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We actually saw it at Whitechapel in London. Again, facts. Remember all this stuff, Hannah. I remember all this stuff.
I know it was in London.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal. It was in like an unused shopping outlet, so you could go upstairs, you could go downstairs. It was just phenomenal, and it was scripted from the complete beginning to the end. There was an interaction with us. We had to make decisions. Sometimes we had to choose if we took a prisoner with us or if we killed him, and they would have done what we said. The death scenes were awesome as well. Like, they were using real bullets. They were using real guns with blanks, and they were using chainsaws and the blood splatters. If you wore a white top, that was sort of code of get me covered in blood as
Two
well.
Two people in our group wore white, and we were like, because they got changed, and we were like, why are you wearing white? And they'd been through it before, and they were like, if you wear white, you get absolutely covered in blood. And part of me was like, why would you want that? And then seeing how much they got covered in blood and how much the zombies went for them, I understood why they wore white. I probably wouldn't myself, having to get on the tube after that.
Yeah, it was a long journey home as well. But yeah, Generation Z, I really do put it up there with one of the best things I've ever done. I'm not trying to say I've lived a child's life as well.
I just don't think I've ever been immersed into a story as much as that. And the detail that they must have gone into to have what is essentially four pieces of theatre running at the same time that all linked in the same finale.
The CCTV as well. We'd connect to each other. We'd all meet up again. It truly was... It was amazing, truly phenomenal, and I absolutely loved it.
So, in at number six is Hurting.
So, Hurting is a card game. It was actually developed in LA by the Haunting.net team, but it was bought here in the UK and played out by Faceless Ventures. Now, Faceless Ventures, second time on this list, and they may come up again, but...
spoilers.
They've watched the video. Hurting.net. Hannah, you haven't experienced this, but you've been on the other side of it.
Yeah, so... Mikey, you've experienced the actual card game.
I experienced the first ever time it came to the UK, and it was one of the toughest things I've ever done, other than the thing that comes later on in this. It was so physical. And I think over the years of us doing it, and we've been on the other side, the game, although it's still painful, I think it's actually got slightly easier. It's not quite as... I was tied up, half naked, getting whipped every 10 seconds, and I felt like I was close to greying out at one point. It was really, really... To put it in perspective, it's a game. It's a card game. There's loads of cards. On the cards, you have punishment cards. You also have cards where you can, like, skip a turn or pass it over to someone else. But there's four resource cards that you want to be the first one to collect. So
collect all four, you win.
Yeah. It's a gun... it's going to be hard to get them because people can steal them if they have stealing cards. It is a fun game, but also expect things like being spanked, to have to do burpees, to do planking, to be gagged with fingers down your throat, to eat force-fed stuff, slaps around the faces, proper paddling. Like, I'm only naming a few electricity shots and things like that. I don't know if we use those in the...
I remember seeing a clip from when you did it.
Yeah.
And you were playing with another team...
in America.
In America.
Yeah.
And my kid kept getting the same card.
I kept getting, I think, pinches. That was it. Like, pinches are horrible. I was black and blue after this.
So Mike is repeatedly being pinched by a torturer. Is that what they were calling them?
Yeah,
torturers?
Torturers, yeah.
Yeah. So Mike is getting pinched non-stop, and his counterpart in America pulls a card, and it was tickle. And I remember seeing a clip where Mike just went while his mouth was gagged.
Gagged, naked. I was attached to it, because we did it at the same time simultaneously with a group in LA as well, which was great. I didn't mention that in the video, actually. I'm glad you reminded me, Hannah. But yeah, they picked a card for us, and we had to be pinched. We picked a card for them, bloody tickling. Pussies. Right.
But then later on, I remember me and Mikey were actually torturers.
Yeah,
so you've been a torturer twice, but we've been a torturer together once. And that is my only experience actually being in hurting, was being a torturer. Which I thought to myself, you know, I've got an acting degree. I can do this. I can be a torturer. Hitting people that you don't want to hit.
It's not nice.
Awful. I was so glad I got to tickle Alan and not hit him. But I think it was Pagan I had to hit.
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
This is awful. This is definitely one on this list that, don't get me wrong, there's things in this that will put you in stress positions, and there's some waterboarding, and there's some really grim stuff throughout this. But this is the actual game where you sign a waiver to say, yes, you could get full on slapped in the face.
Yeah.
You could have someone's fingers shoved down your throat.
Well, I was supposed to put a glove on and gag someone with my two fingers as a torturer, and I just kind of stood because I couldn't turn around to another torturer and go, I'm not comfortable to do that, because that'll break the whole sinister torturer facade. So I had to try and look at someone with my eyes and be like, I don't want to do that. And thankfully, they got the message. Yeah.
I think it was me. I think I ended up doing it.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, it's one that you can buy. You can buy hurting. I think I might buy a pack.
Oh,
just for me,
that's
and you at
scary.
Home.
No. Although I could stick my fingers down your throat.
Well, I could stick someone else down yours. Right in.
Wow. Wow. Shots fired. In at number 5 is Snuff House After Dark by Atmosphere Scare Entertainment.
Yeah, and that was played out at Scare Kingdom Scream Park. We haven't done this one.
No, we didn't.
I knew it was going to be too much for me.
The pure fact that they're co-host, is that the right word?
Well, basically, the guy pulling the strings...
The guy pulling the strings was Russ McCamey from McCamey Manor in America. That alone completely put me off this. No, thank you.
Yeah, this was a 4-hour extreme haunt. And I remember it being announced at ScareCon 2016 in Dreamland Margate. And it just came up on the video of Atmosphere and Scare Entertainment. Atmosphere Scare Entertainment introducing Snuff House. And then all of a sudden, Russ McCamey's face come on saying, forget everything you know about extreme haunts.
Oh, no.
This guy's doing that.
I get chills just thinking about it.
And I'm like, screw that for a bag of peanuts. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that. And I've done some extreme stuff. I've done nearly everything on this list, but I think I've done everything on this list bar Snuff House. I've done everything else on this list, I think.
Oh, wow. Go you.
Thank you. It was 4 hours of intense stuff. And don't get me wrong, after listening to what other people have done, I think I potentially could have done it. There was lots of stress positions and exercises, like other extreme stuff, getting poured with fish water all over you. I could have handled that. I think there were some eating challenges which would have screwed me over. It was more of the fact that they were just extremely physical with you. They had the tormentors, and a friend of ours, Mr. Black, good old Callum. He was really intense with people and physical. So, yeah, that's why it's in our top 10 list of most unconventional haunts as well, because it is one of the most extreme things here in the UK for our fully immersive evening event. And it was cool that this was also, similarly to Hurting, it was done at the same time a group were going through it in America as well.
Mm.
So Russ McCamey, he was controlling it in America, and he was controlling it here via video link in the UK, while the tormentors did his dirty work. So yeah, that was cool. Also, there was an interactive element on it, which again I didn't mention in the video, which is why it's worth listening to these podcasts. We just go into that little bit more depth. We have more time to. We could have a public vote on who we wanted to have an extra punishment and whatnot. They used to show them in a live video. I think it was at midnight during the event. You'd watch and you'd vote what person you who got like a special one-on-one visit with a spider or something. They took it to another level. But yeah, it was really cool. It was really it was something new. Really did sort of break boundaries here in the UK, especially to have Russ McCamey, and we all know he's batshit crazy. So I'd love to talk to Russ one day. Someone in America, make that happen for me. I'm gonna do it. Right, let's go to the next one.
In at number 4 is The Retreat by the award-winning Scream Camp team.
Yes, very good, Hannah. You're getting good at this. They're amazing. Now, this is going to be a short one because we're not going to say much about it.
The Retreat is still... Well, it's new for 2020. It's I think it's the first scare attraction to open in a post-lockdown world
in the UK. It is, yeah.
So... And it's still running now, and it is...
Sold out till 2021.
Absolutely sold out until next year, so we don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
There is a video over on YouTube that is quite spoiler-heavy, but it is all over it that it's spoiler-heavy.
Yes.
We've got an intro saying it's spoiler-heavy, so if you don't have tickets, head over and check out that video, because we can't really tell you much about it here, other than the fact that I was absolutely terrified. I cried... I ran.
We need to point out that it's an overnight event, and there's not that many of those in the UK. But again, that is another reason why it's unconventional. Not many members of the general Joe public would go, yeah, I'll go to an overnight scare event.
Yeah, no, it starts at 8 p.m. Finishes at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah, so it's...
No, it was 9 a.m.
9 o'clock. Yeah.
Where did I get 9:30 from?
You
not a clue. Not a clue. Maybe that's why I had to leave without any shoes on.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. So it's an overnight event, and it's something extremely unique and very different to any other overnight event we've done, anything I've seen around the UK, Europe, and the whole world, in fact.
Mm.
So yeah, guys, if you don't mind having a spoiler episode, go over to YouTube and check that out. There is a spoiler-free review over on our social media as well that goes into more depth, but it's completely spoiler-free. We basically covered the hell out of this event because it's the only event, like Hannah says, back in a post-COVID world.
Well, we were in lockdown talking with the Scream Camp gang about it for a very long time, that when it came, it was just... so much like, oh my god, we're finally getting to do something.
We can leave the house. But it was great. Only two people experience it overnight. Again, why it's quite unconventional. There's no big groups. It is literally just you two for the whole night. But yeah, we can't give anything else away because it would give too much. But if you want to get the spoilers,
all I know is that I've never been as scared by noises in the dark as I was at this event.
exactly that. Let's go for third place.
In at number 3 is Psychomantium at Scare Kingdom Scream Park, brought to us by Atmosphere Scare Entertainment.
Awesome. And they've been on this list twice now.
Yeah.
So for Snuff House and for Psychomantium. And if anyone wants to check out the video, the actual video that they bring back every year, it's Hannah in the video.
I know. So our first time going to Scare Kingdom, we ventured to Psychomantium not knowing what it was for our first visit with Dr. Goodkind. And I was approached, and this is pre Scare Track, this is.
Yeah,
I was approached by a marketing team and said, do you fancy being filmed going through? I was like, all right then. Thinking, yeah, that'll be fun. It was more terrifying. the most terrifying thing I've ever known. And then obviously because I was being filmed, I felt extra pressure not to say the safe word.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't say the safe word.
So it's probably one of the very few times I've made it the whole way through Psychomantium. But yeah, so the video of the person screaming, being hooded, kicking their little legs out, wearing wellies in the trailer that they bring out for Psychomantium every year is actually me.
Yeah, a little bit of background about Psychomantium in case you're not entirely sure what it is. It's been dubbed as the UK's sickest attraction by the Sun newspaper. I think it came out 2014. I can't remember actually now. I'd have to double check that. But there was a big hoo-ha about it. It condoned rape and things like that, and all that was untrue, but bad press is good press when it comes to an extreme attraction.
I think it was the best press that they could have got, because now they can say the UK's sickest attraction
by the Sun.
By the Sun,
it's worldwide known. It really is. It was something that, fair play to Scare Kingdom, they had balls to do this.
God, yeah,
they really had balls to do this. It's a psychosexual attraction where you go in alone. In the last few recent incarnations, you have actually had the chance to go in pairs, but mostly it's alone. And each time we visit has a slightly different theme, whether it be Santa's sack or something like that for Christmas, or whether it be shock treatment or the queening. Or, there's lots of different themes. But just to give you a few ideas of stuff that's happened to us.
So you're always given a safe word.
Oh yeah, you can come out
you're
at any point.
You're always given
you
a
want.
Safe word,
and I've said it once, and the actors are lovely. So they're really intense. Oh, yeah. I've said it, and they're like, "Oh yeah."
I think 4 times before now. Now I just sit in the bar and wait for you to come out, and I have a nice beer. But I think I've said it 4 times, and as soon as you say it, like it's like they give you a cuddle and help you out. It's so lovely and it's so refreshing to not be like, oh God, they've given up.
Yeah.
Everyone's so friendly about it. But it's the only attraction I've ever been in. And I'd say I've been through quite a lot where someone has straddled me topless. A woman has straddled me topless.
Yeah, it was great.
You just don't know what to do. You don't know where to look. You don't know what to do.
Awkward boner alert. Awkward boner. Yeah, this is the weird thing about the Psychomantium is the fact that it's sexual things that aren't actually enjoyable in the slightest.
No.
Like it's I mean a number of things that have happened. The first one I went through, the first scene, I think you walk through someone pissing on you. Obviously it's all simulated, but I've been pissed on numerous times in this attraction by different characters. I've put my fingers up multiple bums, again all simulated. Finger up bums. During its later years there's been some shots of disgusting stuff, whether it been pee or discharge, or vile stuff. Or you've had a tampon in your mouth.
No, that's the last time I went through. Someone tried to make me put what looked like a used tampon in my mouth. Obviously,
it's all simulated.
Obviously, it's simulated. So there's part of me in the back of my head that knew that that's probably just ketchup or sugar syrup or something on it. But then the actual person in me was like, no. Sorry,
good.
No, good. I'm good.
But it's a very psychosexual sort of attraction. It's a degrading style attraction. It's very physical as well. Things like you have a hood over your head, you're wheeled places, you're forced into rooms, you're straddled.
For the first couple of years, we were simulated being injected.
Yeah, that's happened in one of them. Like I say, there's been so many different incarnations now I wish that I'd got some sort of... not a documentary over it, but like some sort of knowing what actually happened in each individual one, because there's been so many different scenes now that I can't remember them all.
It just blurs and you just remember the scenes.
Yeah. I've been squirted on by a nun. I've been put in a coffin.
I did the coffin one.
Yeah. So there's been loads of different things in Psychomantium, and it is coming back again this Halloween. It was supposed to be ending last year.
Yeah, they were supposed to have a new event.
Called Terrotica, which is like terror and erotica, which again I think would be a sexual style attraction. But since COVID-19, obviously they don't want to be ploughing thousands of money into a brand new attraction after this crazy horrible year of 2020. So they're bringing back Psychomantium again. Which I'm excited to check out. It is one that I always say when I come out, I've had enough now. I'm not doing it again. And then every time I go, I'll have to do it.
Which is interesting. For the first 3 or 4 years, Mikey's response when he came out, they could have gone further.
Well,
I feel like they
the
could
thing.
Have pushed
it
me
has,
harder.
It has progressed big time. Like compared to the first one, now I think we could do that easy. And that just goes to show how the industry changes over the years and how intense it gets. But the first few years I was like, it was good, but I could have took more. Now I'm like, oh, that's too much for me. I think it's because in later years of Psychomantium, they've introduced more eating challenges.
Yeah, whereas you've never been used good to at be. That.
I can't. I don't even like ketchup, love. Do you know what I mean? but they used to. It was very few and far between there'd be any kind of eating challenges. But in the latter years, food has been involved. But yeah, there we go. That's number two on our list.
Number three.
Number two.
In at number two is my personal favourite, Project Fear by G&G Entertainment.
Now, many of you listeners may not even remember this attraction. It was back in 2012, so a good 8 years ago now. 8 years and 2 months ago, I think it was now. And it was, I'm going to put me at out there and say this was the first ever extreme attraction here in the UK. I think it was. If anyone reckons there's anything else before this...
It's the first I know of.
I agree, yeah, definitely. Again, unconventional. Think of 2012, which you think is only 8 years ago, but still, it was an attraction where you go completely alone.
I loved with this attraction that it was the first attraction we'd ever done that had a safe word.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that their safe word was our safe word.
Banana.
It's not that now.
It's changed, it's progressed. Anyway, but moving on, yeah, with G&G Entertainment, a few of the themes that you'd go through, you would, the first room, you were literally waterboarded, stress positions.
You were waterboarded by a guy that's actually...
He's from the SAS.
This was his job, yeah. So you're professionally waterboarded.
Yeah, all safely,
but I know that... a couple of people that we went through with, that was their hard no, like that waterboard room, the first room.
Well, that's why they made the first room the most intense, because the amount of safe words they got then wasn't,
But I made it through the first room, yay!
Which meant that we could make it through the whole attraction.
Yeah.
And there was lots of things.
It got easier, but more sinister.
Yeah, like, so the next, like, you were basically, first of all, I mean, the fact that you're sort of tied up in certain areas and you were had a hood over your head and you were forced into rooms by yourself. Again, nowadays that doesn't sound as different, purely because people are used to having that in Psychomantium, or they have been through Hoodoo Voodoo, which is hooded, or the Pit, or Hellements Vixie.
That's what it is now.
Yeah, sorry. So toilets. But either way, people are used to more hooded attractions. But back then, we weren't. And
no.
Especially being alone, being forced. So it was very unconventional for its time.
I think this was the first time I was hooded.
I agree. It was 2012. Mm. And you went into a room where a little girl had been touched by her uncle.
This room was so really uncomfortable for me. It was an actress pretending to be a little girl. There was disturbing pictures drawn on the floor. She was trying to get you to help her draw a picture. I personally wanted to hug her.
Yeah.
And then in comes her vile uncle in a gimp mask.
Yeah, who takes us away into the next room.
Who takes us away so that he can continue his abuse.
Yeah,
and it just makes... The thing about this event is... there were lots of extreme scenarios, but nothing extreme happened. But it pulled on the heartstrings, and I think that's what made it extreme. You felt like you wanted to help this little girl. Then you go into a drug den, and
you're told to snort drugs.
Obviously, they're not drugs, but there's a gun at your head.
Yeah.
And it's like this just stressful situations is what you put in. And that's what made this extreme for me.
That's a very good point.
If you were below a certain height, you went in a coffin.
Yeah. I was bent over the coffin, become too big and fat.
I was in it.
But yeah, that's a very good point, actually, because this, although the first room was a bit intense, the first room was a few stress positions and some waterboarding, that was intense. But the rest of it, yeah, it wasn't extreme onto you, on your body, unlike things like Hurting and Snuff House and the event that comes in at number one. But it was mentally extreme, because again, you'd go into another, and it was all real stuff.
Yeah.
It's stuff that could actually happen. It wasn't make-believe, it wasn't psychosexual, it wasn't fantasy. It was, you could end up in a drug den and be told to take drugs. You could end up in the next room was basically a scantily clad woman riding
you.
You
entered a room and there's a girl over a bed.
She lays you down.
As if you're her lover. Like, she's trying to draw you in. And you end up laying on the bed. And then suddenly her husband or boyfriend appears.
Naked.
Stark naked. With a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Suddenly beating the bed.
Yeah,
it's
and you're
terrifying.
Like, I've got to get out of here. So, yeah. It was really good. Like I say, realistic scenarios, unlike anything else I've done, but it really was unconventional, and especially for its time, 2012. And like I say, if anyone knows any different, please let us know in the comments below. But I think it was the first ever extreme attraction here in the UK.
I also think it's the first time I exited an attraction into a bar.
Yeah, perfect. Right, let's go in at number one.
In at number one is Cracked Survival Experience by Faceless Ventures.
Yeah, Faceless Ventures three times on this list now.
It's what they do, though, let's be honest. And they do it well.
They do really well. But what I love about Faceless Ventures as well, slightly sidebarring, is that they do some fantastic quote-unquote normal stuff as well. Don't take normal in the derogatory way. They do some fantastic immersive theatre. They've done some great when they were PUP, Primrose Unknown Projects, things like The Pit, The Barn, Kane, Who Am I, all these independent attractions that are they're definitely one of the best independents in the whole of the country. Yeah. 100%.
They go from family scares right up to the most extreme thing you can ever think of, which I think is why that they've brought in this scare pumpkin rating system, haven't they?
Yeah.
So that you know whether the attraction is a one pumpkin scares, which I think would be sort of your family Halloween-y kind of stuff, and then your fives is your cracked.
Yeah, yeah. So zero to five, yeah. If it's a zero, yeah. And then things like three would be fraternity and things like that. And cruelty, which I did with them, which was an immersive theatrical
production. That was a three.
I was a two, I think, in the end.
Was it?
Yeah, cause it wasn't too intense. But it works as well. And cracked is a five, 100% a five. Again, in this, it's eating challenges, it's waterboarding, it's been gagged and bagged and tagged, it's a six-hour-long event. It's force feeding. It's so much stuff happens, and it varies from each individual year as well. The whole story arc is a guy, an American guy called Blake, has come over. Who's basically inadvertently started his own cult, and you are there to impress Blake, and you want to be worthy of Blake. This attraction is. It's something else in the UK. Now, I've done it once. I lasted 4 hours, 23 minutes, and it might be 24 minutes, but that last minute is a total blur. And I would never, ever do it again. But I hated and loved it at the same time. It was such a bizarre event, and it's really intense, really extreme, really physical. It is a boot camp survival thing more than anything.
I remember when Cracked first came out and no one really knew anything about it. It wasn't advertised on the usual sort of scare streams online or anything. It just sort of appeared.
Yeah.
Cracked just appeared and no one knew anything about it unless you'd done it.
Yeah.
And no one knew who was running Cracked. No one knew what
it
was.
So secretive.
And I think it was ScareCon 2015.
Thought Park
ScareCon. Check me out with a date. And Cracked was doing a talk, and I remember Lee and Sarah from Faceless Ventures.
They were Primrose Unknown.
Primrose Unknown Projects at the time, along with
Rosie and James.
They got up and they stood up on the stage, and I remember sitting there going, "Why are Lee and Sarah on the stage? Yeah. What's going on?" And then it just turns out that it was these guys, creative minds all together, have created this phenomenon, which is the only way that I can describe it, because everyone that's been through Cracked shares
their
experience with everyone that's been through Cracked. So it's created a community of people that have done this experience.
So much so, obviously, you join a Facebook community and there's meetups and whatnot afterwards. But also, some of these poor bastards, they've got tattoos of Blake just to show that
for some people Cracked has been the thing that they needed.
It's been a lifeline to some people as well.
And
it's
I think that's amazing that out of this awful event in the nicest way possible, I couldn't think of anything worse than being put in a stressed position for half an hour. So I'm gonna say awful in a lovely way event, that people have come together and found such positives out of it.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, did you enjoy eating a rotten egg?
Oh, I didn't touch it. I safe-worded it that bit. I safe-worded. Everything else I think I could have done, I wouldn't be able to do it now because my back is screwed up. I've got, currently have a herniated disc, guys. So, I couldn't do it now. But it was one of those events that's insane. And it was a full... It wasn't just an extreme attraction. Like, there are similar things like this in the States, but it was the first one here in the UK. But it was a whole social experiment. Like things online with the run-up to the event is just as intense as the actual event. You were given tasks. You basically join a Facebook group. You're given tasks by Blake. I was told to do a one-minute video, and I did it, and I think it came in at 63 seconds, and I got in trouble and I had to redo it because Blake said 60 seconds tops. It was really strict, but it was really cool and really got you in the mood for this event. He would find things out about you. He would be personal. I absolutely love Sooty. So he made me cut up a Sooty doll during Cracked. Like, it's personal. I know. I can't cut it. But yeah, Cracked, number one. It's coming back again. It was supposed to be on this year for the last one. It had to be postponed because of COVID-19. So 2021, the last year of Cracked. It was phenomenal, but I'd never do it again. But they are well worthy winners of being number one on this top 10 unconventional scare attractions here in the UK. Would you do it, Hannah?
Cracked. I've ummed and ahed for years because I think that it would be such an amazing experience, yet I don't think I'd last the first 5 minutes.
I don't think you would either.
No.
No.
So, no, I don't think I'd do Cracked, but I love hearing stories of people that have.
Awesome. I agree. And there we go. That is the end of our top 10 list. Like we said, you can check out the actual video where there's some visuals of all the events over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack.
Let us know any top 10 videos you'd like us to do in the future by dropping us a comment or a DM.
You're listening to Scaretrack.
So there we go. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. A nice little discussion and debate episode. We agreed on everything, though. I think next time we need to disagree on something. So I can tell you that I'm right and you're wrong. Basically,
I think that you smell.
I do smell. It's hot in here. It's hot and sweaty.
That's not a debate.
Well, true, but I stink. So there we go. That brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you to everyone for listening. A thank you to everyone who was happy to be put in this list. Obviously, I created this list and I had to reach out to everyone to ensure that we were allowed to use their footage and whatnot for the YouTube video. So I appreciate that to everyone that's let me use footage. Like Hannah said just before the little intro there, if there's anything that you want us to put on our YouTube channel or here on Scaretrack as well, let us know. We're trying to do a little bit of a diverse thing nowadays. Not only do, obviously, our podcasts and our Scarecans, but we're doing more in-studio stuff. We're doing more of the top 10 videos, doing some live stuff on our Instagram page. Basically trying to do loads of different things when it comes to the Scaretrack podcast. We're doing a Dark Field Radio tonight as well. Today it is the 21st of the 7th as of today's recording. And we're going to check out that event. So there will be a YouTube video on that over on youtube.com/scaretrack as well. Hannah, are you excited about that?
I'm excited. I don't know anything about it apart from the fact that we have to sit apart from each other, ideally across from a table from each other, and listen on our own devices.
Yeah.
So, and I know that listening to Scare Tours' sort of mini review of it is that it sounds like there's people in the room with you, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, very excited. So we're doing that, and obviously go over to our YouTube channel or our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk, where you can see absolutely every video, every podcast, every bit of merch that's for sale, absolutely everything on there. Also, we are on social media, of course, so join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. We always love interacting with you guys on there. But other than that, I think that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scaretrack podcast. Hannah, thanks for joining me back in the studio.
Thanks for having me here.
And we'll see you next time. Bye, folks.
Bye.